Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. This week, we're talking about drugs. New York State is rolling back some harsh penalties for drug offenders. That could be good news for prisoners who say they can't get the drug treatment they need behind bars.
The bottom line is that people are going to get drugs in prison no matter what.
And we'll hear about the failures of the global war on drugs. Since 1973, New York has had the harshest drug laws in the United States. Now the state's governor and lawmakers say those laws don't work. So they're reforming the so-called Rockefeller drug laws. When the laws were adopted, there were 12,000 low-level drug offenders in the state's prisons. Today, there are over 60,000. So part of the state's motivation is to cut costs because it's so expensive to house these people in prison. But New York Governor David Paterson says there's another motivation. He says many of these inmates are addicted to drugs and should be getting treatment rather than prison time. Here's the governor.
What we're going to do now is where people are addicted and have committed crimes because of their addiction, we are going to shift our services from punishment to treatment.
A recent report from Human Rights Watch showed that the state will have to make some big changes in order to get inmates the drug treatment they need. The report found that inmates who use drugs in New York State's prisons are subject to harsh punishment. Not all of these inmates are in prison for drug offenses, but they do have drug problems and they say they need help. Here's a story about one inmate's struggle with drug addiction.
And I have before me a misbehavior report.
You're listening to a disciplinary hearing held in a New York State prison. The charges are use of a controlled substance.
Guilty.
The punishment is 2 years in solitary confinement. The hearing officer asks the inmate if he understands the disposition. He says no.
You not understand it or not agree with it?
A little bit of both.
Okay. What part don't you understand?
You just clearly stated that this is my third drug offense since 2006.
Right.
What I don't understand is why I keep being punished and or penalized for the drug offense instead of being treated for my drug addiction.
Okay.
The hearing officer suggests that the inmate write a letter, and that's exactly what he did. He wrote to Megan McLemore, a researcher at Human Rights Watch.
Dear Megan McLemore.
He also sent along a tape of his disciplinary hearing.
I'm glad that someone is going to do something about the way New York State Department of Correctional Services is running its drug treatment program. I need a drug treatment program, but New York State Department of Corrections does not let you participate in group or individual counsel drug treatment or violence programs until you are 2 years before your earliest release. So that means if you have 16 years like I do, then you can't get a drug treatment program until you do 13 years. So that means that I have to fight my drug addiction on my own for 13 years before New York State will even consider giving me a drug or violence program. And believe me when I tell you that I'm losing in my fight against my drug addiction. Respectfully, David A. This was one of many letters that I got.
The letters described harsh punishments for drug users in New York State prisons. McLemore interviewed David A. and other prisoners. She says she was shocked by their stories.
Penalties for drug use in the New York State prison system are extreme.
The drugs are usually detected through routine urine tests.
Now, I'm not talking about sale or trafficking. These are people who were found either using or possessing drugs and who have been locked away and locked down in very harsh conditions for very long periods of time.
The inmates describe trying to fight addiction in isolation or near isolation without treatment. They call the units where they're housed for this kind of punishment the box, where they're locked in their cells for 23 hours a day. McLemore says these sanctions for drug use amount to cruel and unusual punishment.
What we have here is a serious human rights violation because the discipline is really out of proportion to the offense. We're not saying that the prison officials can't regulate drug use. We realize that that's legitimate. But any discipline, in prison or not, has to be proportionate to the offense, and this is disproportionate.
Solitary confinement can have serious mental health consequences and may make addiction worse. And being in isolation doesn't keep the prisoners from getting a hold of more drugs and using them.
I mean, that's what they told me you know, again and again. They'd say, you know, I came in here 2 years ago or 18 months ago or 14 months ago, a lot of them, you know, with a bad problem. But now it's worse. Now I'll take anything that I can get my hands on because I'm desperate. The bottom line is that people are going to get drugs in prison no matter what. I mean, this is not a New York phenomenon. This is a worldwide phenomenon. And that's why prison officials have to start with that reality.
That was Megan McLemore of Human Rights Watch. You can read her full report at hrw.org. Late last month, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton conceded that U.S. anti-narcotics policies have helped fuel drug violence in Mexico. The former presidents of Brazil, Colombia, and Mexico all recently called for the U.S. to consider legalizing marijuana and to expand drug treatment programs. People you wouldn't expect to question the prohibition of drugs are at least asking if there may be another way forward. More than 10 years ago, the world community got together and vowed to create a world free of drugs. But the UN recently acknowledged that the global war on drugs isn't going so well.
On a wide scale, human rights abuses are being committed in the name of the war on drugs.
That's Diedrich Lohmann. He's a researcher at Human Rights Watch. He was at the UN Commission on Narcotics last month in Vienna. There, the UN reviewed its drug policy for the past 10 years and set its agenda for the next decade. Lohmann says the UN acknowledged what it calls the unintended consequences of the war on drugs.
In fact, we feel that that is really a euphemism because the unintended consequences, such as high incarceration rates for people who use drugs, in some countries, extrajudicial executions or torture of people who use drugs, they're completely predictable. I mean, we know that they happen when you use an approach to illicit drugs that is focused mainly on law enforcement.
The UN declaration that came out of the drug summit did mention the need for effective and humane drug treatment, but Lohmann says it didn't go far enough in denouncing human rights abuses.
Singapore is one of the more extreme examples, but if you look at Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, China, these countries all put people in, you know, they lock them up without any kind of due process for very long periods of time in the name of the war on drugs.
Does it work in terms of keeping people from using drugs or trading drugs?
No. I mean, we see around the world that people continue to use drugs. And, I mean, the United States is a very good example of a country with very harsh law enforcement approach to illicit drugs. And has that resulted in, you know, in drug use actually going down? Not really.
Lohmann says the good news about the meeting was that there was acknowledgement of drug dependence as a public health issue and not just a law enforcement issue. That's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.